Welcome to our Leadership Intelligence Podcast. The title of today's session is 6 Communication Strategies to Effective Leadership. This is part of our Transition into Leadership series. My name is Charles Rogel, and I'm the Vice President of Products and Marketing for DecisionWise. I'll be moderating our podcast today. My guest is Matt Ride.
Hi, Charles.
Matt is the Chief Operating Officer at DecisionWise and holds a JD degree. He oversees our company's operations as well as its finance, legal, administrative, and technology functions. Matt is also co-authoring a new book currently titled Bridging the Expectation Gap with our CEO, Tracy Maylett. Again, today we'll be talking about the 6 communication strategies to effective leadership. And to begin, Matt, why this particular topic?
This is a companion piece to a podcast we did a while back.
Yeah.
And that podcast was about how to build a peer network. Once you go from being a frontline worker to a position of management,
mm-hmm.
We suggested that one of the things you need to do is build a peer network, because you have to have influence not only over the people that report to you, mm-hmm. but you need to have influence among those that are on equal level with you or above you.
Sure.
Okay. So we talked about that, and we talked about how to build that and gave some tips. This is a follow-up to that podcast in that we get very specific with some communication strategies that help you make that a reality,
yeah.
and help you deal with these kind of interpersonal relationships that happen amongst your peers and up the chain of command.
So kind of what to do and now how to do it.
Yeah. And so we've identified, we have 6 strategies that we teach about. And what I think I'll do is I'll introduce all 6,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll just go through each one and kind of dive in into them deeper.
Sure.
Okay. So the 6 strategies that we like to suggest that are effective are, first, friendliness. Second is negotiation. Third, reason. Fourth, assertiveness. Fifth is higher authority. And 6th is coalition. Okay, so laying those out and kind of giving everybody an overview of where we're going to go.
So this is different than a specific communication skill. This is more about how you go about communicating with people, maybe, of course, the strategy that you take, the tack that you take.
Yeah, that's an important clarification. Yeah, we're not here to say this is not about repeat back what was just told to you,
mm-hmm.
or
active
look
listening.
Them in the eye,
yeah. uh-huh.
or make sure it's a appropriate communication play, stuff like that. We're not getting into the tactics of how uh-huh. to communicate. What we're getting into is more of a strategy. So it's a step above that, where we're talking about when to use these strategies as you relate to people.
Okay, great.
Okay. So the first one is friendliness. And I'm not sure I love the name, because I think it might be just respect is a better word. But the idea is you have to retain credibility, okay? And you have to keep your communication lines open. And the fastest way to shut down a communication line or a channel is to be a jerk.
Okay? Yeah.
So this is one of those where, as management consultants, we get chided for kind of repeating the obvious.
Right.
But we're repeating the obvious. You can't communicate with anybody if they all think you're a dork,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's the strategy number one, is remember that all relationships and all communication relationships are built upon an element of respect.
Okay.
I teach a class over at a local university, and we study the life of Nelson Mandela. And there's this great scene where Nelson Mandela is in prison, and his lawyer comes to see him. And Nelson all of a sudden stops and says, or I should say President Mandela, I mean, he's a great leader. President Mandela stops and says, "Oh, I'm very sorry. I didn't introduce my guards to you." And immediately introduces the guards, talks about their interests, and they're blown away. And that act of showing respect is what allowed him eventually to endear himself. And really, if you study his life, was part of the reason he was released. Because he realized that if he treated people with respect, he went to their level, he was going to be a lot more successful than the prior tactics he had tried, which is terrorism.
Mm, interesting.
There's another story just to add on to that, where he knew the guy he was going to meet with was a rugby fanatic. Charles is actually a rugby player, so he'll like this.
Old, retired now.
Retired rugby player. He hated rugby, you know,
uh-huh.
in apartheid and in segregated South Africa. The black people played soccer,
yeah,
and the Afrikaans, the whites played rugby,
mm-hmm.
but he learned everything he could, And so he'd sit down and he built a relationship because he knew so much about rugby. He just sucked this guy in. And all of a sudden he had an ally, and all of a sudden he could influence and make change happen because he had brought him into his inner circle. So never underestimate the power of just friendliness and respect. And so you're a new manager and you need to get to know one of your peers. They have an interest you don't know about. There's this great thing called Wikipedia.
Right.
Go learn about it. Okay.
Well, and it has to be sincere as well.
It does. It always has to be sincere, but it's a way to really build a bond.
Yeah. How are you going to connect with people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So number one, the most obvious, we got it out of the way, but it's a friendliness / respect. Okay. All right. Number two is negotiation. What this strategy is when to recognize whether you're in a negotiation situation or not. That's the key, okay? Not all interactions require negotiation.
Yeah.
Although you've certainly met probably people who treat every interaction right. as if it's a negotiation.
Yeah.
Right? They just almost have
they
to win.
They gotta win, yeah.
Yeah, and even till the very end, they're still negotiating how many French fries they got versus, you know, whatever the scenario is.
Sure.
So, again, this is the concept that not all scenarios require negotiation. I kind of liken this to much later on in my marriage, that there were times when my wife didn't want to have me fix the problem. She just wanted me to listen.
Yeah.
And everybody in this studio is nodding their head. And it's sort of the same thing. Not all scenarios require a tit for tat approach. So strategy number two is, we call it negotiation, and it's making sure you understand when to use negotiation and when not to. Now, we just said not all scenarios require negotiation. The key to understanding when negotiation is required is when there are scarce resources. When you're dealing with something where there's not enough to go around, you are by default in a negotiation scenario.
So to take this strategy then, are you saying you need to be able to be prepared with your position and why you need the resources you need or whatever the case is?
That's right. So if you're in a board meeting and you're talking about replacing a CEO, it's not really a negotiation as much as if you're in a board meeting and you're talking about budgets.
Yeah.
There's scarce resources, and so you need to go with a position and how you're going to defend your position. So you just have to be aware when negotiation happens and when it doesn't happen.
Okay.
So that's the second one. All right. Moving on. The third one is reason. This is, what I mean by this is, in all contexts, provide a rationale. The most effective guy I ever had to do a deal against in my prior life as a lawyer, I hated to negotiate against this guy because it was impossible to win, because he always had a rationale for everything he said. He's like, oh, I hear you, Matt, but let me tell you why we can't do that. And then he'd lay out the most compelling argument, and you just sit there like, are you kidding me? Really? And you'd never win. But he was a master at always giving a rationale. It was sincere, or at least semi-sincere, so that it was difficult to negotiate it against him. And so I use that as reason is, reason with people. Take the time to explain why you're asking for them to do something. Don't assume that they're going to just capitulate and give you what you want. Take the time to close the loop, or as what we say around here, there's a saying, as you know, Decision Wise, connect the dots. And even if there's only two dots, take the time to connect
them together.
Because not everybody even connects those two dots.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean by reason, is respect the person you're talking to enough to give them the background, walk them through, and explain for them your rationale for why. They'll have respect for you at that point. They'll say, okay, I can deal with this person because they have thought through their position.
Well, and most times I think we've taken the time to digest it and really understand the situation. We know exactly what needs to be done because we've thought through it already, but the person you're talking to has no clue. And so you need to kind of bring them up to speed and let them kind of figure it out as well.
Absolutely a great point. You have to take, they don't know, they're not already there, right? You have to take time to lead them there, and going from point A to Z isn't the effective way. You need to go A, B, C, and on down the line.
So it's really about kind of creating buy-in, getting them on the wagon with you.
Yep, that's right.
Now, I was going to ask you, how reason and negotiation seem pretty similar, or are they two tools you'd use together?
I think they're similar, but you don't always have to be in a negotiation scenario in order to give a reason.
Okay.
Like, it's good sometimes when you're starting to advocate for something, you can advocate, and you're not necessarily dealing with a scarcity issue. So it's not like if I give up this, you'll get it, and if you give up something, I'll get it. It's not mm-hmm. that scenario. So, but it's still helpful to give a reason for why you want to do something.
Okay.
You're
you can kind of use it separate from negotiation.
Uh-huh. It can be. It's very helpful in negotiation, mm-hmm. but it's just take the time to build your rationale and explain that to the person. It shows a certain amount of respect, and it builds confidence that you have thought through what you're asking for.
Okay.
All right. The fourth strategy is assertiveness. What do we mean by assertiveness? I mean, that word, I mean, is pretty self-explanatory. But there's a nuance to this, and that is, in business, you have to take the time to sort of build support, mm-hmm. and to do that, you can't just be passive, right? I think the better description of this strategy is, don't be passive.
Yeah, don't be
right?
wishy-washy.
Don't be wishy-washy. You have to be assertive. You have to take a stance. Around here, we get frustrated when people walk in and they have a complaint. Our only request is, fine, give us the complaint, but also come with a proposed solution.
Yeah.
Or an idea or uh-huh. a thought. You know, that's what I mean by assertiveness in this context, is be prepared to back up what you're asking for. Just don't sit around and complain. Take the time to actually be assertive in what you're trying to do.
And I think there's a certain level of respect you gain by being confident in the position you're taking, being articulate about it, or having good rationale behind it. And being more assertive, or not necessarily aggressive, but having some passion behind what you're trying to do.
It's very common. I was coaching an executive at one of our larger clients, and the feedback she received from the highest level, the CEO of the company, and this is a very large company. She was new, and she had been promoted to an important position within the organization. He said, "I want to hear what you have to say. You have good ideas." Mm-hmm. But because she was new, she felt timid. And he's like, "No, be assertive. Tell me what you have to think. I'm not going to get any value of you if you're a wallflower and you're not giving me what I need." And so she took that to heart, and she advocates, and she's assertive, because you're not doing yourself or your company any good if you're not out there helping others see your point of view.
Yeah.
So that's assertiveness. All right, the fifth, higher authority. All right, what do we mean by this? It is okay, and is a perfectly acceptable method of solving disputes, to take it to a higher authority and say, "You decide." That works within business. You don't uh-huh. have to end it, drag it on and create an environment of bad blood or feelings. If you're at an impasse, move it up the chain. Both of you make your points, and let someone else make the decision. And that's okay. And then just live by the decision, respect the process, use the process. And so when you're communicating with others and there is someone above you, don't wallow again and get stuck in the back and forth. Decide what you want, go up, explain, brief, move on.
Now, it seems like that particular strategy, though, is useful in only a subset of situations, and you don't want to use it too frequently.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it isn't something...
Pick your battles.
Yeah, it isn't something... You don't want to be known as always running
to dad.
For dad, for help, right?
Help.
Or, yeah. No, yeah. You don't want that approach. But even in how you approach it, say, "Hey, look, it looks like we're at an impasse here. We need to solve this. My suggestion is that we take it. Both present our ideas. I'll be respectful, give you equal time. We'll let someone else consider it and let them make the decision rather than us hurting our relationship and sitting here and bantering back and forth." So yeah. It's even how you frame the request to take it to a higher authority is important.
So it's more of an agreed upon approach to do so rather than blindsiding them and saying, "Hey, we got a meeting with the boss in 5 minutes and we're going to talk about this."
It's just as important how you communicate something as what you're actually trying to say. okay? And I want to emphasize that again. How you say it is just as important as what you say. And for a couple of reasons. First of all, 90% of communication, or at least that's the number that's thrown out there, is done through body language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all about how you're communicating the substance of the of what's trying to be said. And so you have to take the time to communicate it respectfully and well. And there's an old joke that illustrates that, and it's about the guy that goes to his pastor and he says, "Can I pray while I smoke?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, you should feel free to pray anytime you want to God. That's a good thing."
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to the pastor another day and he phrases it this way: "Can I smoke while I pray?" And the guy's like, "No, that's so disrespectful. You should never, you should never smoke while you're trying to pray to the supreme being of the universe."
Yeah.
So anyway, I use that joke to explain that sometimes it's all in how it's phrased.
Funny.
So, all right, that's higher authority. And the last one is coalition. Number six is coalition. This is about understanding the need to get support from others in order to advance your position within a company. Not the position you're at, like your role, but whatever you're advocating for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's it's related to assertiveness. It's related to reason. You go out and build support from others and get them on board so that you can get the initiatives accomplished that are important to you. And so that's coalition. That's the last one, and that's just building support.
And that one's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Not necessarily easy, but a pretty obvious one.
So, I mean, the point of this podcast isn't you're not going to come away with, again, tactics or, yeah, I now have a new way of hypnotizing people into doing what I want. But these are six sort of checklist items that you should consider and think about as you engage in interpersonal communications and how you can influence your peers or even those above you.
And I was going to say, and I think at the foundation of all this is that that point of being sincere, honest, open, you know, not kind of hiding your agenda, for example, because that way you you still need to build respect in all of these different facets with people. And if you're coming off as being disingenuous, people are going to see right through it.
Yeah, I think it's been attributed to Dale Carnegie, the famous phrase, or the most important four words in communication is "you might be right."
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not giving away your position, but you're acknowledging the validity of another person.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be that anecdote and that little phrase to be so powerful is just, "You might be right. Let me tell you why I think it should be this way, mm-hmm. but I'll consider what you have to say." So again, it's so much as how you communicate it is as important as what you communicate.
Excellent. Well, Matt, thank you very much again. Thanks, everyone, for attending this podcast on six communication strategies to effective leadership.